Hi, I'm Ben Pilgreen, lead pastor of Epic Church in San Francisco, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. Our vision here is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. But whether you're listening in from the city that we love here by the bay, or wherever you might happen to be in the world today, I want you to know that I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and what He's doing in our Epic Church community. I hope you'll find this message encouraging and that it will inspire you to take your next steps along your faith journey.
Congrats to our 2020 graduates. Epic family, the title of my message for today is Tired of Waiting. Anyone? For those of you that know me, even if it's just a little bit, you know that for the most part, I'm a pretty calm guy. I don't get too riled up for much, but my wife has the unfortunate privilege of seeing this other side of me that most of you don't get to see, and that is how bothered I get whenever I have to wait. Back in the day when we could go out to eat to our favorite restaurant, you know, way back, let my food just take slightly longer than I anticipated, and the anger and frustration building up in my stomach begins to show on my face. But my wife loves when that happens. Not really. But here's the thing. It's not only with food. Waiting on a long line for a ride? Traffic? The worst. Now, here's the thing. Quarantine has spared me from the pain of traffic and having to go to theme parks and wait on lines and all that other type of waiting. But it's been 2.5 months since we've entered shelter in place here in San Francisco. That's a long time. That's a long time. Some of you were done with it on week one, but now even us introverts are throwing our hands up and saying we can't anymore. That's it. I've had enough. Have you hit that point yet? I know I have, and probably several times along this journey. Now, even though things are starting to loosen and reopen around the country, including here, we can't throw caution out the window because people are still being infected and dying from this virus. We need to be wise how we move forward. But here's where I want us to go today. This is what I want us to talk about. There comes a point, guys, in any unfamiliar or challenging season, whether it's COVID-19 or a health or relational issue, that our patience and endurance starts to wear thin. There comes a point where our enthusiasm, where our gas meter goes from full to empty, especially when there is no clear end in sight. There comes a point when we grow impatient. And we are no longer asking the why questions, like, why did this happen to me? But we want to know when. When will this end? When will our breakthrough come? As Pastor Ben and Shauna taught us 2 weeks ago from their How Long message, it's okay to ask those questions. God can handle them. But if we're not careful, our questions and exhaustion can quickly turn into frustration and eventually to giving up on God, to giving up on Him. Guys, as a pastor, one of the saddest things that I have experienced over the years as a pastor is when individuals come to me and they share with me, maybe they came with a friend, but a little bit begrudgingly, but they share with me that they no longer believe in God because He did not answer a specific prayer that they had at a given time. He didn't answer that prayer request, and so they couldn't wait any longer and they gave up on Him. And so they reverted to believing that they now have to make a future for themselves with no outside help. But I don't want to give up. And I don't want you to give up. If you are tired of waiting, I want you to hold on. I want us, you and I, to put our lives in the hands of the one who holds our past, our present, and our future, a good future. That's what I want us to do. But here's the thing. Here's the questions we need to wrestle with. What are we to do with our exhaustion? What are we to do when we are tired of waiting? That's what I want us to talk about today. Our main passage for today is out of Isaiah chapter 40. And as we read this passage, I want you to notice every time the word tired or weary or anything synonymous with that comes up. It's pretty profound. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. It says this. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Rhetorical questions. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. We just sang that. The creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Not only is he all powerful, but he's willing to share that power and do something with it. Then he says in verse 30, even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is God's word. I pray that it will speak to us today. In this passage, the prophet Isaiah is addressing, he's calling out the hopelessness and fatigue that he is picking up from the people of Israel. It is believed that during this time, the Israelites were captives and exiles in a foreign land. So it was a bad and an incredibly bleak situation for the nation as a whole. It was terrible. You know, I mentioned a moment ago some of the instances that bother me when I have to wait, and I forgot one. And you're going to think I'm pretty petty, but pray for me. God's working in me with this. But this is another area where I get a little bit frustrated if I have to wait too long at the doctor's office. Just think about this, though. The medical profession has created an entire room for us to wait, appropriately called the waiting room. The waiting room. Our unfamiliar season can feel like a cruel waiting room. For the people of Israel, as exiles in a foreign land, they were in their waiting room, waiting on God. Now, you and I can entertain ourselves while we wait at the doctor's office. We can entertain ourselves while we wait for our car to be serviced, right? There are tools at our disposal. We can grab a magazine or a book. We can pick up this powerful device, which at times is really a gift and a curse. But when we are waiting, man, it serves us well. In this passage that we just read, Isaiah is giving the people of Israel and us and you and I tools that we need to help us endure our challenging and unfamiliar seasons. There are two things he mentions, lament and hope. Lament and hope. First, let's start with lament. Now, this passage begins with Isaiah asking the people this question, why are you complaining? Why do you complain? Why are you complaining? Now, the obvious answer to someone who asks you that question is just to point out all the things going wrong in your life. It's just to say, I've lost my job, my marriage is a mess, and I'm stuck in this tiny apartment. What do you mean, why am I complaining? Can't you see? The people of Israel could have easily said, we are exiles. That's why we are complaining. But you see, the Bible never casts complaining in a positive light. No. The closest thing that we have in the Bible to complaining is lament. Lament. However, there is a difference between these two things, between complaint and lament. It's subtle, but I want you to see this. To complain is to show a lack of trust in God, who is the one who sustains us and cares for us and provides for us. Complaining is to express feelings of dissatisfaction and resentment towards God. It's to almost say, if I were in control, I could do better. But to lament, that's something different. To lament is to express grief to God over a loss or suffering that you're going through. It's to express to God a grief over a loss or suffering that you're going through. Now, that may sound somewhat similar. I'm not sure if you caught this, but here's the greatest difference. An Old Testament scholar writes this. In a lament, you are talking to God, not about God, implying that you still trust in God. In a lament, you are talking to God. You are bringing that to Him. You're not talking about Him, meaning I still trust you. I might not be happy with what's going on, but I still trust you. Lament is a reminder that I have an outlet for my pain and my suffering, that I can bring it to God, that I can bring it to the feet of Jesus, the one who says to us, come all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He's inviting us to bring our pain to God. And so when I watched this week a video of a black man When I watched the video, first of a black man being falsely accused of assault, and then to see his skin color used against him as the cops were called on him, I lamented. And then, when I watched another black man die because he was treated worse than an animal with no respect for his life, as the full weight and force of another man's knee lay on his neck, there was great pain, and I lamented. When I hear ignorant comments like racism doesn't exist in this country, I lament. When I see people who are hurt return evil for evil, I also lament. That's not to say that we shouldn't be hurt or angry. In fact, quite the opposite. If you are not appalled by what we have seen as a country this week, that's a cause for concern. Some soul searching needs to happen. But guys, as a community of followers of Jesus, we need to be mindful of our approach and our posture. And here, this is the most important posture that we should take. Us before God, bringing our pain, lamenting. Lamenting. And once we do that first, we can get up and engage one another and have these uncomfortable conversations, because yes, they are uncomfortable, but always with the posture of love and humility. The posture of a learner, of a student, of a servant. And that goes for all of us. And I want you to know from your pastors, from all of your pastors here, that what we are seeing and experiencing as a country, what, not just now, what has happened in regards to race for centuries in this country, it is deeply important to us. It is deeply painful to us. This is not a political issue. This is a spiritual issue for us. And we are praying and we are working on ways that we collectively as a community can lean into this in such a way that it will build up the church of God and not divide it. And if you want to be a part of that, you can take a step this week. On Wednesday mornings, every Wednesday morning, we pray at 8 a.m. via Zoom right now. I want to invite you to pray with us this Wednesday, because we're going to pray specifically on what is happening in our country in regards to race. and the role that we can play as a church community, as followers of Jesus. You can find more information on that at epicsf.com/prayer. But let me ask you a question regarding your pain in this season. Are you talking to God about your pain in this season? Are you talking to God about your pain in this season? Or are you just bottling it up or complaining about it to anyone who will listen? Listen, hear me out. No one is taking away from us that this season is hard or that life in general is hard, but we have two options. Are we going to complain about it, or are we going to bring our grief to God and trust that he will bring us through whatever trials we might be facing in this season? And how you answer that question will determine whether or not you endure or you give up. And I don't want you to give up. God invites you to lament. Not complain, but to lament. You realize that this is throughout the scriptures. About, by the way, the book of Psalms is a biggest book in the Bible, 150 chapters, and about one third of those chapters are psalms of lament. In fact, going even further, there is a book in the Bible called Lamentations, all about lamenting. And in that book, there is a passage of scripture that shows us what happens when we do not bring our pain and suffering to God. I want you to see this. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. I'm going to read from a different translation than normal because this is how I learned it, and it just continues to speak to me to this day. From the CEV version, Contemporary English Version. It says this: just thinking of my troubles and my lonely wanderings makes me miserable. And that's all I ever think about. And as a result, I am depressed. The prophet Jeremiah is believed to have written this book, but quite frankly, any one of us could have written these words, right? If all I'm thinking about is my troubles, my problems, and for some of you, if all you're thinking about is how lonely you feel in this season, come on now, you're not gonna feel good. You're gonna feel miserable. And if that's all you ever think about, if that's the only thing that's running through your mind, we know that when that cycle of thought just kicks into gear and we can't get out of it, it's going to lead to great sadness and depression. And unfortunately, that's where many of us are today. And Jeremiah is about to introduce us. There's hope. Jeremiah is about to introduce us to our second tool, which is hope. But before we move on, let me say this. Don't hold on to your grief. And don't just complain about it. Bring it to God and lament. Talk to him about it and trust that he will help you through it. And I'm telling you, when you do, he can literally turn your sorrows, your pain, into joy. That's the promise for you. Try it. So that's lament. Now look at what Jeremiah says next. First, he's like, what we just talked about, when I'm in my feelings, right? Some of you will get that, not all of you, but when I'm in my feelings, when I'm only thinking about my troubles and my lonely wanderings, I'm miserable and depressed. But then something happens, Jeremiah says. So something happens. Jeremiah, all right, what happens, Jeremiah? Then, verse 21, I remember something that fills me with hope. Oh, really? What is it, Jeremiah? The Lord's kindness never fails. The Lord's kindness never fails. And then he adds this: if he would not have been merciful, merciful, talking about God. If he would not have been merciful, we would have been destroyed. It's like Jeremiah is looking at an event that was deeply painful, and he's looking back and he's like, man, that was hard, but wow, I see God's hand over me in that situation. I see God's mercy. I see God's goodness. Guys, when we are in our unfamiliar season, we need to look back and we need to remember and see how God has been good in our lives. We need to look back and see how God has been good. You see, because hope, here's the definition for hope. Hope is a confident expectation of the good future that God has for us. And the reason we are confident, the reason we are expectant is because of his past faithfulness. You see, hope is not blind. Hope is rooted in the fact and grounded in the fact that the good God that was with me back there in that situation, that he's with me today and he will be with me there tomorrow. It's rooted in God's faithfulness. And so here's a question for you. How has God proven himself faithful and kind to you in the past? How has God proven himself faithful and kind to you in the past? How have you seen God work in your life previously? Where has he shown up? How has he provided? I want you to think back, remember those things, and let those things, hold on to them, and let that fill you with hope that he is going to do and that he is doing something good in your life. Guys, the fact that you are struggling during this season, that we are struggling as a whole during this season or in any hard season in life doesn't mean that we are weak. No. It means that we are human because we all become weak. In verse 30, Isaiah writes that even youth grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. Here's what he's saying. Even what we believe to be the most vigorous thing on this earth, a young person, right? We think they are boundless in energy. He says, even a young person, they are not able to self-regenerate. They have a gas meter too, and it goes down to empty. They too are dependent on an outside source for strength. But then in verse 31, he says, but those who hope in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, this is the key. Those who wait on the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, they will renew and find strength. They will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah is telling you and me that if we want to shake off the rust, if we want to shake off the weariness, if we want to shake off the exhaustion, and if we want to have the endurance to finish our race, then we need to put our hope in God and in God alone. Love this passage. What's interesting, though, about this passage is that it doesn't end in the way you would expect it to. No. It doesn't end in the way you would expect it to. You would think that first it would say they will walk and not be faint. And then that it will go on to say they will run and not grow weary. Or they will soar on wings like eagles. You would think that one would build on the next. But it's the other way around. It's anticlimactic. It says they'll soar, they'll run, they'll walk. Why? As a communicator, as a preacher, I want to end on that high note. I want to be soaring. Why go backwards on it? One commentator says this, because walking is the point. Walking is the point, not soaring and running. The point is endurance. The point is that sometimes, yes, sometimes you will need to soar and sometimes you'll need to run, right? There'll be times where you need to quickly fly above a situation or you'll need to run and catch up in life and God will help you do that, but you won't always soar and you won't always run and you won't always need to. But here's the promise for you. you will always be able to walk. You will always be able to take another step. You won't have to give up. Those who hope in the Lord will always be able to get through whatever life throws at them. That's the promise for you. And when we are done with this season, I want God to find me. I know I'm passionate right now, but I want God to find you still walking, faithfully following after him, because we haven't given up, because we haven't put our trust and hope on a job or on a reopen day or on anything else that doesn't sustain and doesn't remain. But our hope is in him, the one who renews our strength and the one who has a good future planned for each and every single one of us. That's the promise. And if you are not a follower of Jesus, let me change my tone a little bit, because I want you to be open to this, all right? Everything that I've said today, if you are not a follower of Jesus, this is the promise and the commitment that God makes to you. That he will strengthen you, that he will help you through whatever it is you're going through. That he has a plan and good future for you, ready. I can't promise you that life will be easy, but I can promise you that you won't have to go through it alone. And Jesus accomplished that. Martin Luther King once said, "We must accept finite disappointment, but we must never lose infinite hope." Life is disappointing, but we can hold on to infinite hope in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And today, you can place your infinite hope, if you don't consider yourself a Christian or a follower of Jesus, you can place your infinite hope in what Jesus has done for you through his death and resurrection. And so right now, you can do that right now. There's no reason to wait. You can just repeat this prayer after me. You can say, "Jesus, I place my hope in you because you bring strength and life to my soul." Amen. If you have just prayed that prayer, or if you are considering what it would look like, what it would mean for you to place your hope and faith in Jesus, we would love to come alongside you and support you as you make this decision. If you've made a declaration of faith today, we celebrate that with you. But we want to know, we want to walk with you. And so we just ask, if you will, just take a moment to text the word "begin" to the number 313131. And my commitment to you is that I will follow up with you and text you to see how I can help you along in this journey. But you also receive some other stuff from us as soon as you send in that text. Let me close with this, guys. Are you tired of waiting? Are you tired of waiting? If so, that's okay. In fact, it's expected. Remember, even youth grow tired and weary, and young men and young women stumble and fall. But here's the thing, guys. Let's not complain. Let's lament and bring our pain and sorrow to God. A friend, I was talking to them about the message, and this friend reminded me that Jesus himself lamented before going to the cross while he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says in Luke chapter 22, verse 43, that when he lamented, when he prayed, it says in anguish, it says that an angel from heaven appeared to him. And what happened? Strengthened him. He found strength to keep moving forward. God himself, Jesus, lamented. And 2,000 years later, he invites us, you and me, to lament and put our hope in him. And when you do, just watch how you are strengthened by the God who loves you more than you can imagine. I want to give you some tools, tips, resources for you to walk away with challenges. A couple weeks ago, Ben Shelf and Lindsay Lee, our community pastor, they did a growth lab on soul care. And one of the things that they talked about in that lab was lament. And so I want to encourage you, advise you to go check out that lab. You can find it on our app or in our YouTube archive. But let's just continue to lean into and learn this really type mode of prayer, lamenting, bringing our pain, suffering to God. Also, I want you to join us on Wednesday. Again, epicsf.com/prayer. And lastly, I want to encourage you to memorize Isaiah 40, verse 31. I've mentioned the last time I taught that scripture memorization has been so incredibly helpful and powerful as I just continue to come back to the Word of God and His promises. And I want to encourage you to do the same. In a moment, Seth is going to lead us in a song that puts these words, Isaiah 40, 31, these promises into a melody. And sometimes the best way to remember something in a song or to remember a scripture is by putting it into a song. But here's the main goal. Whenever you're feeling tired, remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your goodness. You are good. God, we've been tired. Many of us are tired right now. But I pray that through the encouragement and power of your word and your spirit, that we can bring that exhaustion, bring that weariness, that tiredness, our pain, our suffering to you, and that we will receive the rest that you promise us and offer us, that we will be strengthened as we put our hope in you and not in our circumstances or situations. We trust that you're with us. We hope that you have a good future for us. We know it because we've seen your hand in our lives. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. As a community of followers of Jesus, not only are we to place our hope in Jesus and be strengthened by his presence, but we are also called to bring hope to each other and to strengthen one another wherever we can and however we can. We are literally called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we know that many of you during this season have suffered a financial setback. And what we want to do is we want to bring hope and strength to you. And so if that's you, if there's been a setback in your life economically, we want to be there for you. We want to surround you. We want to help you, whether that's with groceries or any other way that we can. But we need to know. Please reach out to us. One simple way that you can reach out to us is to email careteam@epicsf.com, and we will follow up with you this week or whenever you decide to email. And the reason that we can make this offer, the reason that we can say, hey, we want to be there for you, is because of the generosity of so many within our community. We want to thank those of you that are able and have continued to give during this season. You are truly, truly, truly making a difference. And if you would like to join us in the mission and the work that we are doing, if you are not currently giving, you can easily start giving right now by following the text prompt on the screen or by going to our giving page on our website. Guys, at this time, Seth and Brenda are going to lead us in a song. On Monday, I was talking to Seth about the message, and then he was here. We were here on Tuesday. And after a moment, he just comes out with this song, with this melody. He put the words from our main passage today into a song, and I just love the gift that God has given him. So thankful that he's with us, leading us officially on his first Sunday as our worship pastor. And so, guys, I just want to invite us to lean in, to respond to God's word and promise to us.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Epic Church podcast today. If you would like to learn more, you can go to epicsf.com. I want to also encourage you to download the Epic SF app so that you can keep up with everything that God is doing in and through this community in downtown San Francisco.